Faith is not only knowing God is able, faith is knowing that He's willing. There are a lot of people that say, well, God could do this if He wanted to. But faith is knowing that God is willing to do it, and He's willing to do it for anyone who will come boldly into His presence.
Do you know how much you're loved by God? He's not only able to meet all your needs, He's also willing to meet all your needs. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Jeremy Pearson as he continues with this week's teaching, Speak the Language of Faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearson, and I'm thrilled once again to be with you on this broadcast today. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, I'm so glad that you are and you're getting a hold of the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, invited me to be a part of this great kingdom work that's going on right here from this little table into your living room, into your car, wherever you are, you're getting the Word of God. And that's what this program is about and this ministry is all about. So let's pray today. We'll get right back into our study. Father, we thank You once again today for Your Word. We dedicate ourselves to hearing from You today, and we yield ourselves. Whatever You say to us through the Holy Spirit, we will be transformed to that and begin to walk it and live it. We will be doers of the Word of God. And we thank You that You will help us be that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful to wake up tomorrow morning with absolute boldness and absolute certainty about exactly where you were supposed to go that day, everything you were supposed to do, every word you were supposed to speak? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of boldness and walk through life with that kind of certainty everywhere you go, knowing all the time you're making the right decisions? At every crossroads, you're always making the right decisions, always choosing the right things. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have and live with that kind of boldness? Well, that is what we've been talking about all last week and on yesterday's broadcast, is having our lives marked and defined by our boldness in God, our boldness to come before Him, our boldness of faith to speak the Word of God. Because listen, the world we are living in is uncertain about everything. You've got opinions stacked on top of opinions on top of opinions about everything, and nobody can agree on anything. You've got different opinions and perspective on where's the government going. Well, I don't know. We can't be really sure. What about the economy? Well, it might recover. It might go down again. Nobody really knows. And for hours, 24 hours a day, on multiple television channels, you hear nothing but uncertainty. Uncertainty about the future. Fear about the future. Now listen to me. Every life, every person on this planet has built their life on one of two platforms. You are either built on the platform of fear or you're built on the platform of faith. It's either on fear or on faith. Your life is built on one of those two. Now, fear and faith both, they both yield an expectation. Fear yields an expectation called worry. Worry is an expectation. Fear is the belief that nothing ever goes your way, and worry is expecting that all the time. Fear is the belief that the worst possible could happen, and worry is the expectation that it will happen. Worry is an expectation. Jesus said, take no thought. Why do you worry? Why do you take thoughts worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink? He said, people who don't know God, that's what they're after. But the life built on the platform of faith yields an expectation called hope. Hope is an expectation. Faith in Jesus yields an expectation called hope. Now, I'll put it to you like this. God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace. And you put your faith in Him, and He became your hope for a future. A life that's built on faith in Jesus is a life that has hope as its expectation, always expecting good. Why? Because grace came to you and said, this is what I want to give you. This is what I want you to have. I want you to have abundant life. I want you to have your needs met. I want you to be a conduit that I can meet the needs of others through. Grace came to you and said that. And when you responded to grace by faith, now you have every reason to have a hope for your future. And that will cause this God-given boldness to rise up in you, and you can live that way, bold, day in, day out, bold in hearing from the Holy Spirit, bold in your decision-making, bold in being led by Him. And even if that means you have to slow down and take your time and refuse to make a decision until you can make it boldly, until you can make it courageously, that's okay. Take your time. Let the Lord lead you in it. But wouldn't it be wonderful to live that kind of life day in and day out? That's the kind of life we're after. And if somebody's hearing this and says, man, I can't be bold. I just feel afraid. I just feel timid and shy. How can I get over that? There's one thing that I can tell you that I believe is key to you walking in the boldness of God, and that is this. Meditate on His love all day, every day. Over and over and over. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says that love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How do you know when you can be bold? How do you know that you know how much God loves you? You know, I'll put it to you like this. You have a revelation of the love of God when you see boldness in your life. And if you don't see boldness in your life, then you need to go back and say, God, give me a revelation. I want to know how much I'm loved by you. The two go hand in hand. Walking bold like that, making bold decisions, making bold declarations of faith, only comes from knowing how much you are loved. God loves me so much that He wouldn't lead me wrong in this. God loves me so much that He's speaking the answer to me. God loves me so much that He's delivering me out of this trouble. God loves me. My Father loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And we saw that in the life of that young man, Joseph, in the book of Genesis, a young guy who was bold to stand up in front of brothers that he knew hated him. He was bold to say, hey, I had a dream and all y'all are going to bow down and worship me. Bold to declare his future. Bold when he got thrown into slavery. Bold when he got thrown into prison. Bold when he got pulled out of prison and put in leadership over an entire country. And all of it goes back to this one little verse in the beginning of his story. And it says his father loved him more than anyone else. And I believe he knew how much he was loved. That's where your boldness comes from. And we need to be and can be living lives marked by that kind of boldness. So we ended up over the last couple of broadcasts in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there with me quickly again. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll continue on in this study. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, your boldness has to have a source or it's not boldness. Your boldness, its source is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the price that was paid for you by a new and living way, which He consecrated, not an old and dead way that you consecrated. Not an old way and a dead way of you trying to measure up, you trying to perform to please God, you trying to do right in front of Him. No, a new way, a living way where you receive what Jesus did right. You receive what He accomplished and you let His rightness be your rightness. You let His righteousness be your righteousness and your living come out of that place. That's what it means to be transformed. I'm saying to you that your outward appearance, your outward conduct has to come from the inside first. It has to come from who you are in Jesus. That's the only way you and I are ever going to live holy lives. That's the only way we're ever going to live right before Him is if we let the righteousness that's already in you become the righteousness on the outside. Praise God. I believe this is getting through to you. And he goes on and says that this is your source for boldness, this new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, Verse 21 says that you and I have a high priest over the house of God. Now we know that Jesus is our high priest. How could we possibly be bold? How could we be so bold as to come into the presence of God? How could we be so bold as to look into situations and things that look like they're not going our way? How can you be bold to stand up in the face of sin, sickness, and disease and declare, I am the righteousness of God. I am the healed. I belong to Him. I'm blood bought. How can you be so bold? Well, here's your source for boldness. You have a high priest, and His name is Jesus. Now, maybe you don't know what all of that means to have a high priest, but I want you to see something. The simplest way I can put it to you, go back to the book of Genesis, and I want you to see where this all began. In Genesis chapter 29, verse 31, we have the life and the account of Jacob. Now, you may remember his life. You might remember his story. He went to work for a man, and he fell in love with that man. He fell in love with that man's daughter, Rachel. And he wanted to marry her, but that man played a trick on him, and he ended up marrying his first daughter, Leah. Had to work for him longer to marry Rachel. Okay, so now Jacob's got two wives, okay? The first one is Leah, who he didn't really want to begin with, but he's also got Rachel. So verse 31 says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved. See, Jacob, he really didn't love her. She's not the one that he was after. God saw that she was unloved. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. Now, there are no wasted words in scriptures, and these names all mean something. God saw that Leah was not loved, so He gave her a son. He opened her womb and gave her a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Now, I've got a little footnote right here in my Bible that says Reuben's name literally means see, a son. S-E-E. See, look at this, a son. Now, isn't this interesting? God responded to Leah, saw that she was not loved, so He gave her a son. Look, a son, to prove to you, you are loved. You are loved by God. This is a picture of Jesus. To a world that felt unloved, to a world that didn't even know love, God so loved you that He gave you a son. And when He gave you Jesus, He said, look, see, a son. I gave you my son to prove to you how much I love you. Let that be your source for boldness. Now, this goes on. It's talking about our high priest. In verse 33, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, He's therefore given me this son also, called his name Simeon. Verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Now the high priest came out of this tribe of Levi. And she said, my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him this son. I'll call his name Levi. And down at this little footnote in my Bible, you see that Levi literally means the word attached. So what I want you to see here is that the high priests come out of this tribe called Levi, and his name, just his name, is a picture of the ministry and the office of that high priest. He is attached. So if Jesus is our high priest, what does that mean He's attached to? The high priest was the one that was in the office of going before God and represented all the people, all the children of Israel, to God. That one man represented all the people, okay? But also that one man represented God to the people. So he represents people to God, and he represents God to people. In other words, he's attached to both. Now we have a high priest, according to Hebrews chapter 10 here where we're looking. Our high priest is Jesus. Your high priest is attached to both God and you. Jesus, we know, is the visible image of the invisible God. Or in other words, Jesus represents God to you. But Jesus also represents you to God. The one standing in your place before God is Jesus. Did you know right now that He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for you? In other words, that means He is right now sitting at the right hand of the Father representing you to God. He is right now, when you come to God in Jesus' name and you come boldly into the presence of God, God, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, right then, God begins seeing you through Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is your high priest and He's attached both to God and to you. He is attached to you. Jesus is attached to you. The two of you are touching. You are right up against each other. You are attached to one another. And He is representing you to God. He's the one going to God with your need. He's the one going to God with your petition and your prayer request. That's why He said, "You ask, and it will be my Father's great pleasure to do for you." Because it's the Father's pleasure to give Jesus whatever Jesus asks. He is your high priest. And if you knew that you had a high priest, if you knew that you had somebody going to God on your behalf, somebody that's perfect, somebody that's never missed it, someone that's never made a mistake, how much more bold could you be to come before God instead of saying, "Oh, I couldn't ask God for anything. I could never ask God." And I've heard people say it, you know, "I've never asked God for a thing." And they wear that as though it's some sort of badge of pride, as though now God owes you something because you've never asked before. "God, I've never asked you for anything before. Why won't you do this for me? I've never asked you for anything." And He's sitting there going, "Yeah, why not? I gave you Jesus so that you could come to me and ask and so that I could do for you." Jesus is your high priest who's attached both to God and to you. And you can see that in the very beginning here, all the way back in Genesis. God gave Leah a son, called his name Levi, and out of him came this ministry of the high priest, and out of that ministry came Jesus. And it goes all the way back. All the way back in Genesis, you can see Jesus as your high priest. Praise God. And because you have a high priest, you have every right and every reason to be bold in the presence of God. He is your source for boldness. Now, this goes on to say that we have a high priest over the house of God, so let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like boldness, full assurance of faith, boldly coming to God in faith. Why? Because you have a high priest, you have a new and living way that He consecrated, and you have the blood of Jesus. All of this is on your side. And I think about this, and as I study this and preach this, there is one thought that continues to come to me over and over and over. And you look in the world that you and I live in today, and you see suffering going on all over the world. You see people in poverty, abject poverty, poverty that's just hard to wrap your mind around. You see people in slave conditions, enslaved to other people, not to mention enslaved to sin, to the course of this world. And you see this kind of suffering going on all over the world. And there are people whose major complaint against God is, if He's so loving, if He's such a God of love, how could He allow all this suffering? And as I hear in my heart people asking that question to God, how could you allow this suffering? How could you allow me to suffer this way? How could you allow others to suffer this way? I believe God is kind. I believe He's merciful. And I believe He's gracious. But I also believe that he's getting ready to answer that question. And I'll be honest with you, he's been answering that question in me lately as I hear it in lives of people all over. And this is how he's answered that question. People are saying, God, how can you allow this suffering? He's saying, I gave you my son. I gave you his broken body. I gave you his spilt blood. I gave you the communion table to come to. I gave you a new covenant. I gave you his name. I gave you his word. I gave you my right to speak my word. I gave all of this to you. How could you allow so much suffering? Man, that's getting all over me. I hear him say that so loud and clear. And every opportunity I get, I refuse to allow suffering. Anytime I get the opportunity to minister the Word of God to somebody, and especially the opportunity to grab a hold of it in my life, I boldly refuse to allow suffering in my life and in my home and in my family. I refuse to allow those things that everybody's called suffering, sickness and disease and poverty. I won't allow it. Why? Because boldly I lay hold of what's been given to me in the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I have a high priest. He gave me Jesus. And it's my fault if I don't go to him through Jesus. I refuse to allow suffering. And it's not God that's allowing it, it's man. It's man allowing these things to continue when he gave you everything he could possibly give you to disallow that kind of suffering in the lives of other people. But it has to be, that kind of grace has got to be appropriated and grabbed a hold of by faith in Jesus' name. Let us draw near with a true heart and bold assurance of faith, fully persuaded, just like Abraham was, fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. I tell you, faith is not only knowing God is able, faith is knowing that he's willing. There are a lot of people that say, well, God could do this if he wanted to, but faith is knowing that God is willing to do it, and he's willing to do it for anyone who will come boldly into his presence, come boldly to the throne of grace and receive that grace and obtain that mercy in a time of need. That's you and that's me. So before you do anything else today, you run to the throne of grace and say, I receive my grace, I receive my mercy, I come boldly and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
When the enemy tries to move in, there's no need to run and hide. It's time to step in and send him running. No matter who you are or where you came from, you can be free to live life to the fullest. God no longer sees you under the curse, unworthy, sick, or poor. Understanding who you are in Christ is key to living in the fullness of the good life promised. In Kenneth Copeland's 8-part CD series and study guide, Understanding Who You Are in Christ, you'll be transformed by this foundational teaching and in-depth study on the reality of redemption as you begin to see yourself as God sees you. You've been redeemed from the curse, so begin to enjoy all that belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. You'll also receive free with purchase Jeremy Pearson's Bold Beyond Uncertainty, an effectual complement to this teaching. Make the decision, know who you are in Christ, and claim your victory. Order the Understanding Who You Are in Christ package at a 40% savings for just $30 at kcm.org. In this 8-CD series and study guide by Kenneth Copeland, learn the power of knowing how much you are loved. And free with purchase, you'll also receive Bold Beyond Uncertainty, a CD teaching by Jeremy Pearsons. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland, go to kcm.org.
You know, there are a lot of people that look at the lives of people like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other men and women of God, and they say, man, I wish I could have those kind of results. I wish I could have that kind of life. You want to know where it begins? It begins with understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. And that is what I've watched my grandparents teach and bring us up in. It's knowing who you are in Jesus and knowing who He is in you. They have walked these things out. They've not just studied and preached them. They've experienced them and they're living in them. And once you understand who you are in Christ, you will be able to stop the devil. You'll be able to stop anything that comes against you in this life when you know who you are in Him and who He is in you. We're walking in this thing and it is the good life. It is the good life. When you begin to see yourself the way God sees you, changes everything for you. Now, when you order this product, Understanding Who You Are in Christ, what we want to do is send you absolutely free, Bold Beyond Uncertainty. This is what we've been talking about on these broadcasts. It's a one CD message, and it's a quick, probably 1 hour encapsulated version of everything that we've been talking about on these broadcasts. You need to get a hold of these things. It's not till you get the Word of God in you and you begin to practice it and do it, that's when it changes your life. Order yours today. I know it's going to bless you. Southwest Believers Convention, July 4th through the 9th. Now, those are new dates. Make sure you know those new dates. Right here in Fort Worth, Texas, this is our guarantee. Listen, you will hear and you will learn the Word of God. Then it's up to you to do the Word of God that you heard. But this is exciting. It's our 31st year with this meeting right here in Fort Worth. Then after this one, the Behind the Mission meeting in Secaucus, New Jersey, September 16th and the 17th. My grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, will be preaching live on Friday night. Then Saturday, Stephen Kelly Swisher will be sharing. So you want to make sure if you're in that area that you attend this meeting. So if you want more information about this meeting or Southwest or anything going on at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org. You've got all the information right there that you need. And plug in to the life of this ministry and what's going on here, especially if you're a partner. You want to make sure you know everything that's going on so you can be a part of all of it. Amen. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. Pastor Terry Pearsons will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.